at Union Church again today. It's a beautiful day, cold day. It's a beautiful day to be here with all of y'all again. I do appreciate the prayer that's gone before, Brother Russell. So there's a lot of things we don't know in this life. As a child of God, we can always depend on the truth of His Word. We know this is truth. We can't find truth out there. You can always come here and find truth. If anybody listened this Wednesday at our service online, I talked a good bit about our adversary. I talked about who's divides, what divides us. But this morning, I want to talk about who brings us together and who unifies us. That's who we stand in need of. You know, I spent enough time with that old devil, I think, on Wednesday night. But I want to spend a little time on the Lord Jesus today. I kind of want to go back to where Brother Philip ended last Sunday when he was talking about Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 10, at the very end, verse 40, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." But finally, Mary was at the feet of Jesus. You know, I remember this old movie that my daddy used to like called City Slickers. Y'all might have remembered it. There's an old cowboy in there named Curly. And he looks at the character, the lead character there. And they're talking about the secret of life. And Curly says, the secret of life is this right here. One thing. He told that boy, if you figure out what that one thing is, then you'll have a good life. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here what our one thing is. Child of God has one thing. One thing is needful. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. Martha was cumbered with a lot of service, and that's not something to be held to Martha's account. We're all busy sometimes. We all lose sight of what the good part is. You know, Kenny Chesney's got a song that says, yeah, man, that's the good stuff. You know, a lot of times we're so busy worried about this whole bad stuff in this life that we forget about the good stuff. Jesus reminds us in this verse that one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. Where was Mary? At the feet of Jesus. What is the one thing that is needful for God's children to have peace and unity? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, His presence. That's what's needful. You know, when I think about the one, that one thing, we think about oneness. A one. If we're united, we're one. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He does. He unites us. He was the one. He was the one thing that was necessary to unite all those that He loved. You know, sometimes in this life, it's real easy to focus on the bad things. We can do that in our partners. We can do that in the church. We can take one bad thing and focus on it, and that leads to division. For this says that Jesus said it was good. Think about focus on the good thing. The one good thing. Now we can find a lot of good things about our partners, about our church.
Think about that in your marriage. You know, we all have talked. You know, I'm guilty of that.
But if we focus on that one bad thing, it drives us further apart. But if we focus on the good things, that unites our marriages, that unites our friendships, that unites our church. And I want to focus on the one thing that the church needs, the foundation we need, that we've always needed, that we can't do without, the one thing that's necessary for unity. Lord Jesus Christ, as Mary chose the good part, she was at the feet of Jesus. She chose Jesus. Jesus is what's necessary for unity in the church, for unity in our lives, for purpose. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to find a correlation between marriage and the church here. In verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, if we look over in Romans chapter 12, we'll find that we are one body in Christ. How are we unified? A body is one. We're one in Christ. That's what's needful. Here it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present unto himself a glorious church, not in spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord church, as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, if we think about these things for a minute, it says, for the husband. It says, wives, verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now we see a correlation here between a comparison between our marriages to our spouses, the marriage of the church to Christ. What is the basis of both of those relationships? It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as the church submitted itself to Christ. You know, when I think about that, there's a service there. There's service. And when we think about husbands submitting, husbands leading loving our wives like Jesus loved the church. Well, how much did Jesus love the church? Lord Jesus Christ gave everything for it. He laid down his own life. You know, a lot of the world has a problem with this verse. They have a problem with wives submitting themselves to their husbands. But you know what I see there at the end of this verse? It says that two flesh became one. You know, when I read how wives are supposed to be to their husbands and husbands are supposed to be to their wives, I don't see one in subject to the other. I see both in service to one another, that they come together and form one. And the foundation of that marriage, if it's going to be a godly marriage, is Christ. We should be loving one another, serving one another, as Christ loved the church. Husbands ought to be loving their wives like Christ loved the church. Wives ought to be loving their husbands like the church is supposed to love Christ. Our very Savior came in service. He came to serve. You want to find unity in our churches? You want to find unity in your marriages? I tell you, no other foundation can be laid than that which was already laid. That's what Brother Paul told us. Jesus Christ. Brother Paul told us one time that I would know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, when you've got a good foundation, you know, it's a lot harder to fall. You know, my son John, he loves to stack blocks. And I've been impressed at how well he can stack blocks. He can stack little blocks on top of one another. And the other day he got a tower and he says, Daddy, look, tower. And he got it all the way. I promise it was 4 foot of blocks. Oh, I walked in there. I was just impressed with how big they were. But I've watched him progress. And you know, John used to, he'd take whatever block he could find. He didn't really know the difference between the shapes or the sizes or anything. And if he would start his little block off of one little block, you know, his towers would fall a lot of time. You know, but I noticed as he got smarter, he learns fast. He'd take his big block and he'd put it on the bottom. And then he'd start stacking those things up. See, he started with a good foundation. If we're going to have unity in our church and unity in our lives and peace, I want you to know you got to start with a good foundation. Otherwise, everything's going to come crumbling down. Our marriages have to be based on a good foundation. Our churches have to be looking to and based on Christ. We come into a church and we start looking around and bringing things out of this old world and be like Martha when she was worried about everything else but serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where division comes. This book tells me we should be of one mind and one accord. Now, if Christ is the head of the church, where is our mind at? Well, our mind is in our head, right? Well, our mind ought to be about the Lord's business. Our mind ought to be on Jesus. When we walk through the doors, that should be our main focus. And that's where unity comes. Oneness. You know, you can lose that in church. You lose sight of Lord Jesus Christ and what we're here to do, you can lose that in church. And it causes division. If you lose sight of that in your marriage, I want you to know it can cause division. If you start looking at everything that's wrong with your husband or your wife, and you stop looking at the good things about them, it causes division. So our foundation, our basis should all start with Jesus Christ. That's the one thing that's necessary. That's in this life. I want y'all to know something. Jesus Christ is the one thing that's necessary for the next life. And I know y'all already know it, but I don't ever get tired of hearing it, and I hope you don't either. Now, one thing's necessary. In Romans chapter 8, and I want to start in old verse. Verse 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, I always like to stop at that verse and say, these good things, all this good stuff, that's not everything that happens to you in your life, but it's everything that they're about to talk about that follows. All these good things. All these things are working. And I want you all to know what the basis of that is, what the foundation of these things are. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how he shall not with him also freely give us all things freely." You look at all those things. If you look at predestination, being conformed to the image of his Son, being called, the irresistible call, the effectual call of the Lord, the justification and the glorification. You read that verse, I want you to understand that is the way of salvation. That's the way we're saved. We're called because he foreknew us. Because he foreknew us, he called us. Because he called us, he made us just in the sight of Almighty God by his precious blood, Son, precious Son's blood. And because he justifies, one day we're going to be glorified. That's all done by one thing. That one thing. What was it? That he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. See, that's the one thing. See, that one thing unites us all together. See, that one sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made
did it all. It did all these things. It united all things. Because of his one sacrifice, everything the child of God needed to be in heaven one day was accomplished. Be brought back together and be gathered together to be unified back and consoled and reconciled to the Father. You know, when I think about, you know, we talk about the unity of our country. You know, some of the, it's not just in my life, probably in a lot of your times. I think back through history and what some of the most unified parts of our country were. It usually came about two things. It usually came about through tragedy, or it came about through victory. When I think about my grandfather, you know, a day after, I think he was born December 8th. Is that right, December? On December, well, it was right around December 7th when Papa was born. It's losing me right now. It's his 18th birthday. On December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor happened. My grandfather had to be drafted. It was a horrible tragedy. But I tell you, this country was unified, man. You know, the other time I remember this country, I remember seeing the pictures that I saw such unification was when there was victory at the end of World War II. I want you to understand, brother, our unity with the Lord Jesus Christ came with a tragedy. Being unified in the Lord Jesus Christ came with a tragedy. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died, we were unified because of that death. But oh, one day, because of his victory, we're all going to be gathered together again. And there was only one thing that was necessary. There was only one thing that was necessary. You know, John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Doesn't say there's ways. Doesn't say there's truths. There doesn't say there's other lives. One way. One thing that was necessary. See, if you add anything to the charge, to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you create two ways. And when you create two ways, you create division. You know, my son John, when he builds a tower, sometimes, you know, he'll put two blocks down and put one across, and then he'll start stacking. But you know what? If you push one of those blocks out, the whole thing comes tumbling down. When you lay anything to the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, when you lay works to it or anything else that is dependent on man, I want you to know a block is going to fall. But our salvation is not dependent on our works. That block wasn't put in the foundation. Our foundation is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The one thing that was necessary to save us from our sins was his death, burial, and resurrection. And if I can spend the rest of my life telling God's people that there was only one thing necessary, I'm like my brother Paul. I would know nothing. I would know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Thank you for your good attention.